you really can't experience that song unless you spend time in private worship. People have never experienced the goodness of his presence, and every Christian should experience it. If you have your Bibles tonight, go to John chapter 4. We're going to look at John chapter 4, verse 20. The title of my message tonight is In the Name of Jesus. That's not the title of the message, by the way. I'm sorry, I'm talking to my... You ready to hear the title of this message?
Yes.
Stop your unbelieving crying and begging.
Amen.
Stop your unbelieving crying and begging.
Yes, sir.
Go over to John chapter 4, verse 20 and 24. Too many Christians, instead of coming into the throne room knowing that they belong, they come to the throne room. I heard a man the other day, please God. Oh, please God. Oh, please God. Now, there's nothing wrong with that if you've only been born again maybe a month or two or 6 months or whatever. But many people in this room, you've been born, you're seasoned believers. You've been born again for several years. You've got no business going into a throne of grace and mercy, begging and crying, God, please help me. God, please do this for me. God, please take care of this. God does not respond to that. Now, I know many of you may think he does, but he doesn't respond. He would like to. If that be the case, he would respond to all of us. We wouldn't need faith. God responds to faith and faith only. In John chapter 4, verse 20, it says, our fathers, this is when the woman at the well met Jesus. And they're having a discourse. And this is a Samaritan woman. And the Jews didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. And so they've gotten into a discourse. I believe in verse 19... The woman said, our fathers used to, you say that our fathers, go. Can you bring a, yeah, that's not it, go to 8:17, huh? 20, go back to 20 then, okay, go back to 20 then. Is it 20? Yeah, our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where they worship. Well, actually, in the New Testament, the only place of worship is in the believer. That's the place of worship, is in the believer. Okay? How many of you remember the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda? And the Bible says that he had laid there for many, many years. And he said that and what he was waiting on, the scripture says that the angel would stir the water. And Jesus walked over to him and said, what would you have me to do? And the man went out giving excuses. The bottom line is most of us live in that place. Okay? That's where we live. We live in the place where we think that we're waiting on God to come down. God's not going to come down anymore. He's already descended to earth. He descended into heaven. And into the lower parts of the earth. He ascended back to heaven. Sat down on the right hand of the Father. At that very same moment, he set you right beside him.
Hallelujah.
In a place of authority. Came back to the earth and talked about, if you'll just tarry in Jerusalem, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Went back and he's been there forever. But the thing is this, God's not coming down anymore. And the bottom line, where God worships now, he worships in the hearts of men. And Jesus said at verse 21, and Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh. Now, why did he say the hour cometh? Because there had been 4,000 years, Jesus the Father never received the kind of worship that they were seeking. The kind of worship that they wanted was the kind of worship that comes from a man with the hearts and a nature that's just like God. But when Adam fell, Adam could not worship God. Now, God loved the nation of Israel. He loved them. They worshiped him with animal sacrifice, and he appreciated that, and he loved that. But he couldn't love them the way that he wanted to, like he can love you and like he can love me. And so he's explaining all of this, and he says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh. He's saying there's coming a time when ye shall not, shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He's saying the place is going to change. I'm going to move headquarters inside of a person.
Hallelujah.
That's where his headquarters is now. He lives in heaven, but he also lives in you. Now you may say, well, can you explain that? Well, remember, your natural mind cannot understand the things of God. So you have to get into the mind of the Spirit. And he lives in you and you live in him. He's in heaven, but he's also in you. You're on the earth, but you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're seated in a place of authority. And to have the devil knock you around, kick you around, order you around, God's going, should not be. Should not be. But he still loves you. But it shouldn't happen. Women, believe me, the hour cometh when ye should neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 22, please. Ye worship and ye know not what. There are still people that worship and they don't know what they're worshiping. Because when you worship God, you going, I can't stand that sister over there. I can't stand that brother over there. You don't know what they parked in my parking spot this morning. Sat in my seat. They know I sat there. Walked right by me this morning and didn't say good morning. They saw me. See, you don't know who you worship. That's what he's saying. If you knew who you worship, you wouldn't talk like that. He said, when the true worship shall, now is when the true worshipers, everybody say true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father has been looking for the last 6,000 years now, for people to worship him the way he designed them to worship him. He wants you to worship him. When is the best time to worship God? When all H-E double hockey stick is breaking loose in your life.
Amen.
When is the best worship you'll ever give God? The worship here on earth or the worship in heaven? The worship here on earth. Why? Because in heaven there'll be no resistance. You won't have any flesh. You won't have a devil. You won't have a mean mother-in-law or whatever the case may be. Talking bad about you. Worship now takes more of a sacrifice. That's why in the book of Romans it says that present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's by the way of the brazen altar. I come by the way of the brazen altar. What are altars designed for? What are crosses designed for? And what did Jesus tell us to do? Pick up our cross every day, and to do what? Follow him. So what should you do every day? You should be dying to the things of the world. You should be dying to yourself. You should be dying to your self desires. And people would say, well, my desires are good desires. Honey, you know who gave you those desires? You know who gave you those desires? Those desires came from the world. And as long as you're having desires from the world, okay, they're not God's desires. So we want the desires that come from him. Amen?
Amen.
Now let me ask you a question. Getting back to stop your unbelieving crying and begging, let me ask you a question. How does a person find favor with God? I've heard a lot of messages preached on the favor of God. I hear people walking around saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. What does that mean? If you're blessed and highly favored, why isn't every bill paid? If you're blessed and highly favored, why are you going through tests and trials? Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should be free of tests and trials. I'm just saying if you're blessed and favored, why are you struggling with your tests and your trials? See, the thing is that it's not enough just to be favored by God. You've got to learn how to walk in the favor of God. Walking in the favor of God means I can entreat the presence of God. When I have favor with someone, that means I can go to them, and if they've got something that I need, they're willing to give it to me. Yes, ma'am.
A renewed mind.
What's a renewed mind?
You say, how does a person entreat the favor of God?
Yes. You entreat the favor of God through private worship. You begin to learn how to get into his presence. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens is that when I say get into his presence, what I'm saying is the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. So we're all on a platform of what? Of grace. So how do we get that grace to work for us? How do we get that grace to be activated in our lives? What does that grace mean? Well, that grace really is the favor of God. Well, how do I activate that grace? How do I activate that favor? How do I walk in that favor? If you're walking in that favor, you're not begging and crying and asking God, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. You don't have to do that. People that have favor with God, they know how to snuggle up with him, crawl up into his lap, have a good conversation with him, tell him how much they love him. Tell him how much they adore him. Tell him how much they need him. Those people are the ones that have favor with God. Those are the people that he's looking for. They're not ashamed to say, I worship him in spirit and in truth. See, we sung the song tonight. It said that come into his presence. See, the thing is that how do you come into God's presence? Just because you go to church, you're in this building, you're in, and really that's a kind of a misnomer when we say, let's go to church today. Well, this building is not the church. The church is right here. The church is right there. You are the church. The thing is, the church is not a building. The church is not a place. The church is an individual. The church are people. We are the church. We are the ecclesia, the call thy church of a living God. And the thing is this, we should be able to entreat the presence of God whenever we need to, whenever we want to, just because we can, and just because we want to. We need to stop our crying and begging when we come to the altar, and we ought to get on our knees, and we ought to say, I believe, and I'm not afraid. I believe, I call myself well. I'm not afraid. See, most Christians, here's the point of where I'm coming from tonight. We pray from a position of fear. Don't shout me down now. God, if you don't do something quick, boy, Katie, bar the door. It's going to have, oh, it's going to be bad, God. You got to come through, God. You got to come through, God. And the thing is that it's not what you're, God is not interested in your status in the community. God doesn't care if you live in a mansion. God doesn't care if you live in a shack. He doesn't care if you drive a Hootie or a Cadillac. It doesn't make any difference to him. He doesn't care about those kinds of things. He'll take anybody. He'll take somebody that's been rejected. And if they'll spend time with him, he'll take them out of their current situation and put them in a situation that they never dreamed before. There is nobody in this room that has any excuse before God. God, I'm just not fortunate. God, the cars didn't fall in my... No, you just haven't spent time with God, you lazy thing, you. You just haven't spent time with God. You're too busy. Listen, people talk about, well, I have this kind of faith. If you don't have enough faith to spend time with God, praying in the Spirit, private worship, if you can't break that barrier to where you spend time with God, that is one of the smallest steps of faith you can take, but it reaps huge rewards. You want to beat the devil down there in the ghetto area? First beat that demon that's keeping you out of prayer. Don't shout me down now. Beat that devil first. Beat that flesh first. Beat the flesh that talks you out of spending time with God every day. Beat that one. And when you get down there in the ghetto, that thing will bow down to you. Why? Because he knows you've been with God. You'll go with the power of God. You won't have to go down there begging and screaming. You won't go down there slobbering and carrying on preaching religion. You'll go down there preaching and demonstrating, as Paul said, the power of God. And they'll see signs and wonders coming out of you. Why? Because you've been with him. And his favor is upon you. His favor is upon you. How many have ever gone to we got a mixed crowd in here, so I better be careful. How many ever gone to an African American funeral? I'm talking about them old time funerals. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the kind that when you get there, and the family comes in, and people get to passing out. People get to hollering and screaming and carrying on. And they think they're so holy and they're so righteous. Folks, there's no faith in that. That's nothing but a bunch of religion gone wild. That's all that is. We've got to get past this begging and crying and screaming and carrying on. I shouldn't say screaming, but I'm talking about begging God. God, please. God, please. God, please. Listen, he's willing. You don't have to talk him into it. Just put time on your schedule to spend time with him. Well, I don't know how to do that. Okay, now listen to me. I'm going to give you the first two or three statements how you can begin to spend time with God. A child can do this. Repeat after me. Father, I love you.
I love you,
Father. I love you with all of my heart. I love you with all of my soul. I love you with all of my strength. I love you. That's it. And just keep saying that and keep saying that and keep saying that. And every time you say it, make sure your mind is not somewhere on the freeway trying to fix the problem. When I had the aphid problem, that's how I got rid of it. I remember one day I was having an attack. My heart just going out of control. It's just beating fast. And I give you praise. You're not a man that you can lie. You've exalted your word above your own name. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never fail. I declare I'm dead to the world, and I declare by your stripes I'm healed. That heart went gloop and just started beating normal. Now, it didn't happen the first time I did that. It happened after I spent time with him. But that's how much power you have. You want to see miracles in your life? You want to see financial things turn around? You want to see health problems turn around? Just begin to tell him how much you love him and begin to tell him how his word will never fail you. I promise you, man, he'll begin to hook up with you. You'll begin to pull the favor of God on your life. Sickness and disease, financial lack will begin to leave your place.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead now.
Now for $19.95, if you'll send your checks in to Dominion Training Center now, we'd be most grateful. Now, you know I'm kidding. All right, one time somebody said, did he really want a check for night? I go, no, it's a joke, man. It's a joke. Whew. So now what do you do when something, some test or some trial just flies up out of nowhere and you're not expecting it? And it catches you off guard, and you go to a doctor and he says, we found something on the x-ray machine. We found something on your x-rays. We wanted to call you back in because we've got some concern. We see something. Now, what you do when that happens is how you're going to come out of that battle. Now, if I were you, instead of getting all excited and start crying and begging God, I just simply get quiet and I would begin to give him praise. Amen. And to tell him he's a man that he cannot lie. He's exalted his word above his own name. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word can never fail. Mm-hmm. I call myself healed. Amen. And just start telling him how much you love him. Mm-hmm. Folks, it can't get any simpler than that. That's all I did. That's all I ever do. That's all I do. This Christian walk isn't difficult. We preachers have made it difficult. We've made it difficult to walk in the God kind of love. I'll tell you something else. You start praying and worshiping that way, boy, the reservoir of love will begin to fill up on you. It'll begin to overflow. And the love of God will begin to come out of your heart. Now, you won't be perfect. You won't be like Jesus where you never make a mistake. That's not what God is looking for. God, I told a person one time, I said, God is not looking at your mistakes. And they went, what do you mean? I said, he's not looking at your mistakes. Well, Pastor Craig, he keeps a record. No, he does not. Pastor Craig, come on now, Pastor Craig. That's not true. God is not keeping a record of your faults and failures. He's not. It doesn't matter to him. The Bible said he loved you before he even knew, before you even knew him. He gave his only begotten son before you even knew him. He gave his son when you were in the worst kind of sin you could have been. He still gave his son. God is not concerned about how many mistakes you made. What God is concerned is, are you willing to spend time with him and allow him to change you? See, he doesn't require you to change yourself. He will change you himself. Amen. Well, how does that happen, Pastor Craig? Well, permanent change starts on the inside. Real change starts on the inside. Real change doesn't start because I walk down the aisle. That's not change. The only change that's happened when I walked that aisle is he took out my fallen nature and he gave me one just like his. Now I got to spend time fellowshipping with him so I can become just like Jesus. He forgave all of my sin the day I walked that out, but nothing on the outside changed. And I believe sometimes we take the born again experience and we put it up as though you have just been, you've hit the jackpot. Well, in a sense, you have hit the jackpot, but you will still have tests and trials. You have to grow up. You have to learn how to commune with him. You have to learn when you fall, how to get up, not in your strength, but in his strength. Amen. You know, I think we've lost a lot of people to the gospel because we preached it in a way that made it seem like they had to get themselves cleaned up before they could come and serve God. And that is simply not true. That song that Billy Graham always played when he had for salvation, just as I am, just as you are. Every day he'll take you just as you are. But listen, he doesn't want you to remain just as you are. See, if you are, say, in the midst of well, I'll just use my own example, my own case. When I gave my heart back to God, I was smoking marijuana like a freight train and believed it was okay. I thought smoking marijuana, God gave man all the herb-bearing plants to enjoy. Puff, puff, puff. I'm high. Matter of fact, I'll go a little bit further. Let you see how bad I was. Walked to the Lakewood Church. Couldn't go into church until I smoked me a joint. I smoked one on the ride over here. On the ride over there. Not here, but over there. Then when I got in the parking lot, I smoked me another. On holy ground. See, that's your religious thinking. See, if you'd have saw me in that parking lot smoking a joint, you know what you'd have done? You'd have kicked me out the church. You'd have gave me a left foot of fellowship. But God wouldn't have. God would have loved me. And he loved me so much, every time I smoked that joint, he'd go, now you know that ain't right. No, you gave me this to enjoy. And just right in here, I'm going, this ain't right. And man, and more I did that, I knew I've got to change. Now, you know how I changed? I went to Dope Smoking Anonymous. Mm-hmm. I'm kidding. Y'all are so gullible. Give me a break. Give me a break. No. Know what I did? I began to pray in those other tongues. And I began to let the Spirit of God on the end. Didn't know what. I didn't know. I didn't have this revelation on tongues. I didn't know what tongues did. In fact, when I called my mother about praying in tongues, she goes, "Ooh, no, 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 don't do that." Man, she told me, that's the worst thing you can do. Well, something on the inside said, nope, we need to do this. So I did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And as I began to pray in the Spirit, God began to change my want to. See, I smoke all the dope I want to smoke. I just don't want to smoke any. He changed my want to.
Amen.
There was an article in Christian magazine about should Christians drink alcohol. Christian, you can drink all the alcohol you want to drink. But now let me ask you a question. Why do you drink the alcohol? Are you trying to escape something? You're trying to get away from something? You're trying to escape some pain, some emotional pain? Is that why you drink the alcohol? Because that's why you drink the alcohol. God's got a better plan than that. He says, be not drunk with wine, where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, the thing is, you drink the alcohol to do what? To anesthetize, to dumb down your emotions so that you can deal with them until the problem kind of floats away. But God's got a better way. God's way is spend time in private worship with me, and I'll make you so drunk that your emotions will get turned the other way. They'll get turned off, basically. And they won't hinder you anymore. And all of a sudden now, you'll be looking at your problem and you'll be thinking, I can do this. I can do this. Well, what changed? You got filled with the Spirit, with psalms and hymns and making melodies in your heart as unto the Lord. You quit begging God. God, please help me. God, please change me. You begin to cooperate with God. And when you begin to cooperate with God, because of the favor of God, you begin now, God begin to entreat, you begin to entreat his presence. You two hooked up. And all of a sudden, his power begin to flow out of you and his power begin to flow towards you. And all of a sudden, the devil realized, uh-oh, I am no match for you. You see, for most Christians, the devil can use their flesh against them. And that's what he does. And so the thing is tonight, I'm trying to get across to you tonight, is that we need to quit begging and crying over God. I know many thought I was going to start preaching on tongues, but that's not my message tonight. But my point is, I want to just give you the idea that, you know, God is in the business of changing people. He's not in the business of leaving them like they are. And we all have different inroads. We all have different ways we get there. Do you realize you need to get in a spiritual shape? You realize when you start spending time with God, you begin to not concern yourself with the number of hours and the number of minutes. All of a sudden, when you begin to worship God, the time just kind of just goes by. The Lord told Brother Norval one day, he said, the person who will come before me to praise and worship me, will get himself in shape to enter into the world of prayer. For the most part, the church is not in shape to pray. All they want to do in prayer is to beg God to do something. God doesn't have to be begged to do anything, or do something for them, or to argue with him about God. I see so many Christians arguing with God. God, how come I can't do this, and how come I can't do that? Well, it doesn't bring glory to God when you do that. Remember this. Love is always a trump card. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul said these things? He said that some of you are upset because people are eating food that has been sacrificed to idols. Well, really, it doesn't matter anymore. What did God tell Paul? Peter, what I call clean, don't call unclean. But here's the thing. If I'm doing something that would cause you to stumble, then I'm not walking in love. Can I go to a restaurant and have a glass of wine? Is the answer always yes or no? I'm asking you, is the answer always yes or no? So what's the answer? Depends on what? Like? Yeah. See, if I go in at a restaurant and there's some baby Christian in there and they look at Pastor Craig drinking a glass of wine and they'll think, I guess I can go drink wine now. So what's the problem? I'm not walking in love. Ladies, I'm finna get on your case now. You come dressed to church and you've got your good-looking outfit on. And some young man who's just got born again, who's struggling with the flesh, and you come dressed up in there, dressed in a certain way, and it causes him to stumble. That's not walking in love. Well, my body is my body. You're not walking in love. It is your body, but you're not walking in love.
It's God's body.
See, the thing is, we've got to learn how to quit begging God. We've got to learn how to quit arguing with God. We got to realize God's not telling us, giving us do's and don'ts, because he's trying to make us into something. God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
Now, you can decide to choose it or take it or not. Amen? But for the most part, the church is not in shape. What we do is we waste time and energy and our breath for no reason to trying to talk God into doing something that his word, he never says he's going to do. There's no reason to go to God in prayer and agonize with him over and over and over again. What we're teaching you here is to learn how to entreat the presence of God in private worship, become to know God, know his presence, and begin to walk out of that prayer closet, walk out of that time with God, and know my problem is solved. I told you last week when I was demonstrating this, when I begin to spend time in private worship, God will begin to suspend me in a place called done. I didn't know what it was, but this confidence would come on me that this is going to happen. And he would start giving me glimpses of this is going to happen. Well, what changed? My body didn't change. God didn't change. What was changing was my soulish realm. It was the Spirit of God was beginning to go, yeah. And he was eating my unbelief away. He was eroding my unbelief. Now, where did I get my unbelief?
From the world.
From the world. You've been conformed to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to me. I'm talking about anything you're going through. Many people will listen to this message and you'll think, well, he's not talking about my case. I'm talking exactly about your case. I don't care what it is that you're going through. If you'll begin to spend time with God, he'll lift you out of the problem that you're in, and he'll begin to set you someplace that's in a higher dimension, in a higher realm. You cannot spend time with God and him not change you. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen, you can make all these exclamations about praying in tongues. All praying in tongues is you're spending time with God. That's all it is. Quit fussing about that. Private worship is just spending time with God. Fasting. That's exactly right. Exactly. Come to know the riches of his grace. You come to know him. You become to know him personally, not from a pulpit, but because he reveals himself to you. That's what you want. That's the Christian life. And if we could begin to preach this and teach this everywhere we go, we'd find more people that go, yes, I want him. Yes, I want him. Listen, people are lonely. People are hurting. People are in desperate situations. They're hurt. They've made mistakes. And they think God has just given up on them. Let me tell you something. God ain't gave up on you yet. God will, in eternity, he will look over in hell and go, oh, my goodness. My goodness. I think one day I'm going to preach on heaven at one of our immersion rallies. Let me give you a little bit. I don't know why I'm getting on heaven right now, but the thought just came to my mind. You know how big heaven is? Heaven is so big that if there had been 10 billion people that have lived on the earth, and there hasn't been 10 billion people, there's probably be what? Somebody knows these numbers. 6-7 billion people on the earth right now, or 5 billion? Is it 7 billion? Well, there haven't been 10 billion people live on the earth yet. If every one of them went to heaven, now get this, this is amazing. If every person, every 10 billion of those people went to heaven, there would be enough space in heaven for each and every one of us to have 75 acres to ourselves. Glory to God. That's a big place. That's a big place. And you don't want to go? Slap you, silly. What's wrong with you? Listen, folks, the life that you're living compared to eternity is about this big. And I see so many people pouring their whole energy into this life. You're concerned about how you dress and what kind of car you drive and what kind of neighborhood you live in. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But you're putting too much stock in this world. I heard this saying the other day, and it's so wrong. You only live once. Lie straight from the pit of hell. You will live forever. I only live once. And what it is the way the devil suppresses eternity. You're going to live forever. Now, am I preaching fire and brimstone? Absolutely not. I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about heaven. You don't understand the opulence in heaven. You don't understand what he has planned out for you in heaven. And those of you, there'll be two resurrections. The first resurrection will be those that overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And they love their lives, not unto death. They're resisting the devil. They're resisting the sin of the world. They're resisting the things of the world, the lust of the flesh. They're resisting those things. They're coming against those things. God's going to say, you get up here and sit on my right hand. Because you're going to rule with me.
Amen.
Now, the second resurrection, you're going to be like, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad I made it. Hallelujah, I'm in heaven. Well, you will be. You will be. Two resurrections. The first resurrection and the second resurrection. How many want to be in the first resurrection? I hope you do. I hope you do. Well, the things that we're teaching here helps you, puts you, qualifies you to be in the first resurrection. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and were the testimony. What does that mean? I spent time with him. I laid my life down for him. People think, well, I can't have any fun. You don't know fun. You don't know fun, man. Getting drunk, running into somebody, getting drunk, not knowing what you did last night. I smoke methamphetamines. I smoke crack cocaine. I've taken I've done it all. So a guy, he one time tried he injected into his arm and he missed the vein, and the guy went, why is that sheet over there? And I'm going, he's a dead man. When I saw him the next morning, I went, whew, brother, that was close. We didn't know what we were doing. We were experimenting. Everybody experiments. It's what young kids do. You know why they experiment? Because they're curious. Mm-hmm. Listen, if we can get young people curious to what God is doing.
Amen.
Listen. Young folks, don't ever think God is boring. Mm-hmm. He's not.
Amen.
You've just been taught by that old watered down church on the corner. You've been taught worship by the church of the deep freeze. They don't understand the worship, kind of worship that I'm talking about. Okay? The worship I'm talking about, you'll get to know him. You'll be suspended into his presence for so long. Listen, I've been as high as I can get. I've never had a high as being in his presence. There's none that matches it. Not one that matches it. Not one. I was so high one time, I'm thinking, will I ever come off of this? It gets kind of scary after a while. And here's what happens out there, young people. For the next several years, you're chasing that same dope so I can get just as high. And you never find it. Why am I preaching on that tonight? I don't know. I have no idea. I just go where he tells me to go. But here's the point. There's a place in him you don't have to beg. You don't have to cry. You don't have to please, please, please. There's a place in him where he says yes, 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 and yes. Amen. Every time you come to him, it's yes. When you begin to come to him with problems that are too big for you to solve, you were not designed to solve the problems that the world's having today. You were not designed to handle all this stuff today. You weren't designed to handle it. But when you come to him and turn it over to him, now when you begin to fight the battle, you know what you'll think like? That little bitty kid at this big old dam going, how am I going to stop all this water? But you know what? Right behind you is a great big old God. And when you get out of the way and let him begin to start doing his thing, whew, he shows up. But he won't show up just because you walk down the aisle. He shows up because you know who he is and you've learned how to receive his love. I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. Most Christians have not learned how to receive the love of God. That's why you're angry. That's why you're frustrated. That's why you're at your wit's end. You're concerned about the economy. You're concerned about not having enough money. You're concerned about how it's all going to end up. You are not designed to live like that. You were not designed that way. And the devil knows that. So he's going to keep that on your forefront as long as you will let him. It's only when you go to God and you begin to spend time in his presence, all of a sudden those problems will begin to wash away. And you'll wonder, where did they go? They went into the sea of forgetfulness. Now you're in his presence and you know all things are possible to him that believes. There is a place, folks. That place is for real. All things are possible to him that believes. Now, the thing is this. How do we learn and how do we develop the love of God in our heart? For $19.95, I will send you my CD on private worship, and you can develop the love of God in your heart. But that's how you develop the love of God in your heart. You begin to give God praise. You begin to spend time with him. You begin to tell him how much you love him. And all of a sudden, your heart begins to wake up to the fact that he loves me. You'll walk out of your prayer closet and there'll be this confidence and you'll go, I couldn't prove it in court, but I know he loves me. Then a problem will come up. And you'll have a choice to sit there and go, what am I going to do? 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 Go reset the account. Well, that ain't going to work. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Call your friend up. They ain't got any money. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You call your banker up. You ain't worth it. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Every avenue that you looked at says no. And then one day you'll realize what I taught you. And you'll go, I just give you praise. I worship you. I glorify you. And that day, he'll take one step towards you. If you'll keep coming, he'll take several more steps towards you. Until one day, he'll be in your face. He'll be in your bedroom. He'll be all around you. And he'll first begin to fill you with himself to a degree. He'll begin to wash your negative mind away. And all of a sudden, though they have no cure for what you have, you know he's got a cure for everything that ails you. All of a sudden, when everybody told you, no, you're not going to get this, you're not going to get that, you don't qualify for this loan, you don't qualify for that loan, you don't qualify for this grant, you don't qualify, all of a sudden you know, that doesn't matter. He's going to make a way.
Amen.
And somehow, the other day, last week, I left my tablet here in the building. And I got all the way home and realized I didn't have it. So I'm laying there in bed. And I'm going, I got to get over here and get this thing because I know I'm going to need it for the whole week. So I finally get up and I'm cranky and I'm coming over here and I get halfway over here and I'm go, I don't have the keys. So I said, that's okay. I'll just go hang out until somebody shows up. I'll go have me a cup of coffee. I check my other pocket. I don't have a wallet. Oh, it gets worse. And the truck has got 1/8 of gas in the tank. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but look here. Look, you ain't got to worry. You ain't got to worry. Now, because you're stunned for a few minutes, you'll walk around like I did. You'll knock on the door. Nobody answers. Oh, man. You'll walk outside and go, what am I going to do? And you'll think, well, I'll go sit in the truck. And then I got my truck and I went, nah, I'm going back inside where it's cool. So I'm sitting on the stairs. Now I got the people that work upstairs. They're coming up and down the stairs now. So I can't stay on the stairs anymore. So now I'm aggravated. But you know what? Because I've been spending time with him, he's working on something. Amen. So I walk down the other end of the hallway. I go outside and watch a guy from the city department working on drainage, whatever it was. And I watched him for about 2 or 3 minutes. And I came back inside and I was saying, you know what? I'm going home. If somebody wants that thing, they can have it. So I'm walking toward the door and a guy walks by me. I never saw him before. And I said, hello. He says, hello. So he keeps walking and he gets to that door and he sticks a key in it. And I went, my ram in the bush. Glory to God. You know what he told me? You didn't know how I was going to fix that problem, did you? But I did. When he healed me of AFib, he says, you didn't know how I was going to heal you because everybody told you, you'll never be healed. You'll never be healed. Nobody gets healed of that. Nobody ever gets healed of that. But I did. Amen. And all the way home, with an 8 tank full of gas, I worshiped him all the way home. Why? Because I just spent some more time with him. He just made himself real to me. And I'm telling you, that will happen to you more than just a few times. I double dog dare you to begin to spend time with him. Stretch yourself. Listen, I'll go in my office and shut my door. I love you. I worship you. I just magnify you. I am in love with you. And people will think, what good is that doing? Oh, careful, saint. Careful. You don't understand private worship. See, you're thinking about it out of your mind. See, when I begin to worship him, all of a sudden it's coming from my heart. See, I'm communing with him out of my heart. Yeah, it's coming out of my head, the words. Well, actually, I'll say this, praying in tongues. Where does it come from? You think it's coming out of your head, don't you? But it's coming out of your heart. It's just that the brain is just the one that transfers it to that language. That's all. How does a Chinese sound when he prays in tongues? Did you get the point I'm making, though? It's different. It's just different. But what makes one sound? I mean, again, it's spirit to spirit. It's just that the tongue is the thing that's drawing the real tongue, not the language. But the real tongue is what's drawing that language out of my spirit, out of his, to communicate it to him. That's what it's doing. It's like a siphon. Praise the Lord. Well, private worship, guess what it does? It draws the love of God. It draws the wisdom of God out of his heart into yours. All of a sudden now, the problem that you thought you had, it ain't that big of a problem. And now you just kind of begin to suspend yourself there, and you begin to go, he's going to work this out. I don't know how he's going to work this thing out. Right now, we're looking at a second car. I ain't worried about it. I'm not worried about it. He's going to work it out. Amen. Now, you know how I'd rather he work it out? Where I didn't pay a dime. Amen. That's the best kind of working out. Amen. So now, do I go beg him and believe him for it? No. I spend time fellowshipping with it. Amen. And then one day, the thing just shows up. Why? Because my desires has become his desires. And now he's going to give me the desires of my heart.
Amen.
See, your desires, when you were out in the world, guess who gave you those desires? Who gave me the desire to want to smoke dope?
The enemy.
Exactly. Now, what could I see worthwhile smoking dope? I look back on them going, what in the world was I thinking? A farm boy, drove tractors, didn't smoke cigarettes, didn't smoke a pipe, but picked up smoking marijuana. How does that happen? Because he put that desire in me. I got around some guys when I got to college, and I went, that's cool. I can hang out smoking dope. Got me a set of friends. Now, glory to God. Well, everybody wants to have friends, right? So I found me a set of friends. And that's what happened. I got hooked up with the wrong crowd. That's how the devil does all these young people. It's how he does anybody. Because you are lonely. And Christian, let me tell you something. Never again say out of your mouth, I'm so lonely. You don't know him. But if you spend time in private worship, you'll never be lonely again.
Amen.
A day in your life.
Amen.
I am never alone. I said, I am never alone.
Amen.
Never alone. I love it, man. I'm never alone.
Amen.
Listen, I got somebody who knows the wisdom of the world.
Amen.
He can tell me how water was made.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell me how fire was made.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell me how diamonds were made. He can tell me anything I need to know if I'll just spend time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to spend time with him. Stop your begging and crying before God. Spend time in private worship and get to know him.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes,
I didn't have a lot of book, chapter, and verse tonight, but I want to, he just put that on my heart. Quit begging God. Listen, how many of you have loved ones you believe in God for to come into the kingdom? Quit begging God for them. Man, just listen. All you got to do is just understand how much he loves you and say, oh, by the way, Johnny's name, he's yours now.
Amen.
And let God just sick him, man. Just let God sick him.
Amen.
Let the Holy Ghost just go get him, man. You ain't got to worry about that. And just sit back and give God the praise. Just sit back and thank God that they're coming to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Don't call them and say, what you doing? You do anything wrong? Are you going to church today? No. When you get around them, love on them. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much you miss them. Invite them to church if they want to come. They don't want to come? Don't worry about that. Don't get discouraged. Just keep believing God. Just stay in communion with him.
Amen.
He can turn it around.
Amen.
If he can bring the prodigal son back home, he can bring your prodigal back home.
Amen.
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 See, we're worried about the wrong stuff. Quit begging God for your loved ones. Quit crying to God. Oh, God. They're out there in the streets. They're probably going to get hurt. That's nothing but just unbelief. Let that stuff go. And just get in there and say, God, they belong to you. Because they belong to me. Because they're in my lineage. Because I'm related to them by blood. They coming in. They coming in. I got folks in my tree that I'm believing God for. I mean, I got some tough ones. Man, they are tough, staunch tough. I got one, not a young man anymore I'm thinking about. Man, he's a ladies' man. Mr. Suave. Mr. Cool. He's a ladies' man. I'm telling you, man, he can sell ice to an Eskimo. Am I lying about it? He's good. But I'll tell you, one day, you're going to see him right up here praising God. You watch. You watch. You watch. Why? Why do I say that? I quit begging and pleading to God. I'm going, God, here is his name. He belongs to you.
Amen.
I cast the care of it over on you. Because you care for me. I'm your son. I'm not worried about that. You don't have to be worried about it. Let them go out there and do the funky chicken or the worm or whatever dance they're doing these days. Let them just keep on doing their thing, man. All of a sudden, they'll be like me. Come home one night, drunk as Cooter Brown, going, where is my Bible? Where is my Bible? And start reading, going, I don't have a clue what I'm reading, but why do I want to read the Bible? That's what called me back to God. Drinking cognac, straight up. Coming home and going, I got to read my Bible. I got to read my Bible. Why is that? Because I had a praying mama that wouldn't quit. I had a grandmama that wouldn't quit. And listen, my mama didn't pray in tongue, but my grandma, oh, man, she cut loose now. She could cut loose on her brother. Oh, I think it was Holiness Church. She could cut loose, boy. And I can tell you, she was praying for me. And when I called one day and said, hey, I'm giving this up, man. I'm no longer living in the world. Man, I can tell she went, whew, God. Woo! Many a prayer went up for that brother. But you know what? Thank God they did. Amen. And that's why this generation, that's what we should be doing for our loved ones. Amen? But don't fret over them. They think they're in control. They ain't. They're not. They're coming in. They can fight all they want to fight. Amen. They can't. That's what I was saying. Their arms are too short to box with God. Amen. They're not going to win. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there. I'm starting to ramble. Does anybody here need a healing touch from God tonight?